Hello and welcome to the Deplorable Housewives of the Midwest podcast. We're so glad you decided to join us today. On the podcast, you will hear Lil D, Susan, and myself, Andrea. Check us out on the web at www.deplorablehousewives.news. We're also on Facebook and at the Deplorable Housewives of the Midwest, and we're on Twitter at Deplorable Wives. Now for our show.
Hey guys.
Thank you for joining the Deplorable Housewives on this bitterly cold day. How are you ladies doing? This is Andrea, by the way, joined by Lil D.
Hey.
And Susan.
Hello, hello. Yes, I had to do the laundry on the old scrub board, go out and hang up the clothes on the on the corral fence, chop wood, haul water in for a bath. I mean, yeah, we've really got it tough now, don't we, ladies? I mean,
we do.
It's pretty dang easy, and but they don't think so because they keep canceling stuff. I mean, Laura Ingalls Wilder did not cancel life because of the snow. They had to continue on in the cold.
Amen to that. Yep, no, exactly. Exactly, yeah. My kid is on day two of school shutdown, so there's only so much that you can do to keep a teenager occupied. So, parent problems.
It's true. And you know, my grapefruit from Florida came frozen. Totally frozen spheres. I could have, like, pelted it at someone. I mean, they could have used these things as a lethal weapon, honestly.
Nothing more painful than, yeah, really, nothing more painful than frozen grapefruits.
Yeah, they always use grapefruit as a bad example to everything, like the size of tumors and stuff. And
but you're talking about real ones. Yeah, you're talking about real grapefruit. So this is kind of like a departure from the regular conversation about grapefruits.
It's true. You know, my mind goes all over the place. It's got to be the cold, you guys. And the fact that we're running out of natural gas in Minnesota. And we
hook it
people
up to my husband.
Yes.
Mine too.
Yeah, that's methane. But that is a natural gas, by the way. But it's a different kind of natural gas. But
there you
go. It might work. You know, it could work. But running out of natural gas, I have to say this. You guys who don't believe in the pipeline, get off my natural gas pipeline.
Amen.
I love my pipeline. Love my natural gas. I don't want my heat turned down to 60. I like it at 72. Keeps the pipes from freezing. So
exactly.
Hey, you guys, you don't like the pipeline? Get the heck off of it.
Yeah,
use a hamster.
Energy.
A hamster on a wheel will generate a little bit of electricity. Hook yourself up. Call a lineman. Hook yourself up to the grid and start pumping away on your elliptical to keep yourself alive, because I'm on my pipeline and I like it.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're saying that Xcel said that they're experiencing a significant strain on the natural gas system due to the extreme weather conditions. So we have another 24 hours of this extreme weather condition. Mm-hmm. And it is what? I think it was minus 22 this morning. It was warming up because it was minus 27 at 7 o'clock this morning here in Minnesota. But we are on the upswing. I believe it's minus 22 right now. So
woohoo! That's short wearing weather for us being from Montana, you know, where we didn't cancel school no matter what. I had a day, you guys, when there was such a whiteout, I couldn't find my car in the apartment building to go to class. And my microbiology professor was mad. He goes, "Where were you?" I'm like, "I couldn't find my car. I'm sorry." But hey, you get out there no matter what, and you get the job done. That's what you're supposed to do. So stop wimping out on me. How many of these kids who are home from school hop in the car and run all over the place shopping?
Right.
If they can't go to school, obviously they should stay home in front of the fireplace if they have natural gas.
Exactly. You know what I found intriguing is that I was driving through my town and I noticed that there was a line for the car wash, and it was minus 20 yesterday. I'm like, who washes their car in minus 20?
And when they don't, you get,
They had them open? Because usually they close them after.
The car wash was open. The car wash was open. And people were getting their car washed. And I'm like, okay, take the car home and then try to open your door later on.
Was it one where they like actually dry it as you go? Like it's one of the schmancy ones? It was at the gas station.
All automatic. It's like one of those Mr. Car Wash automatic ones.
See, usually they shut those down if it's like below zero.
It was below zero and it was open. So I'm just imagining all the people in their garages trying to struggle getting those doors open. So I would sell tickets to that show.
Hey, that's the perfect plot not to have to go to work, you guys. I think I'm going to go wash my car tonight because no way in heck am I going to be able to get into it to go to work.
Monday night, we actually had a natural occurrence of that down here in Indiana where, you know, it had been fairly decent all day and then it decided to rain. And while it was raining, it switched over, like the temperature dropped, so everything turned to glare ice. But I had to go and pick up my kids from their activities at school, and we couldn't open the car doors because it froze so quickly after it rained that my doors were frozen. So
absolutely, yep. And not only is this happening in the Dakotas and Minnesota, this is happening even in Chicago, a big city like Chicago. Can you imagine how incapacitated the city becomes? I saw that the Chicago River was frozen over this morning. It was incredible.
But they said that you'd have to go back to like 1985 or 86 to get the temperatures that they're at right now in Chicago. You'd have to go back that far for those records. So, you know, it's pretty insane when Chicago gets that cold.
See, one of the light rails is not running this morning here in Minnesota because it's all above ground. And apparently it got so cold that the rail bent. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't. But oh my gosh, $2 billion to have a bent rail.
Well, it's $100 million a mile. $100 million per mile of light rail here in Minnesota. And
light rail in Minnesota doesn't make any sense. If you know, with Chicago, it's really funny because we got stuck one time. We were downtown dropping off my son at his hotel after a hockey tournament. And we got on Wacker Drive. And I don't know if you know, but Wacker Drive.
What a
goes,
name.
I know. Wacker? Well, it's a wacky road. It goes under Chicago, and that's actually where all the delivery trucks, there aren't any in downtown Chicago in the loop, there aren't any delivery trucks. You don't run into delivery trucks because they're all under the street. They're under below on Wacker Drive. That's where they all go, and that's where it's the craziest thing. But if you get stuck on Wacker Drive, the problem is your GPS does not work. So you just roll with it until eventually it pops you back above ground. So
that's a first world problem. Remember when GPS didn't exist and we didn't have to
work? Yes, I do. I was lost all the time.
Me too. It's the scariest thing though, because you just see these streets. It tells you the streets that are above you that are going by, and you're like, great. And it's Chicago. So as long as you're in the loop, typically you're pretty safe, which brings us to the whole story about the Empire actor. Supposedly, allegedly was attacked. Now, let's preface this with, if the investigation, which is ongoing right now, if the investigation does come out that he was actually attacked by some crazy people, we do not condone any kind of violence. We condemn violence regardless of your race, your sex, your sexual preference, you know, your politics. Yep. I talk about punching people in the throat. That means a verbal punch, never, never actually physical. I do not believe in violence, and neither do you ladies, right?
Agree.
Well, yeah, I cry.
But you know what I find interesting in this whole thing is that he was out at 2:00 in the morning in Chicago.
Right.
Which is never a safe thing to do. I mean, well, I grew up in New York City. I didn't walk around New York City after 10:00 at night.
But where he was supposedly is not okay. Everybody thinks of Chicago and thinks of shootings and all of that stuff. There's certain pockets in Chicago that are very well policed. Hyde Park, there's police everywhere. They don't mm-hmm. hardly have any crime, and that's where the Obamas are from, right? Then you have the Loop. If you're in the Loop, which is the downtown business district, it's the Miracle Mile or whatever they call it, or Magnificent, you know, Mag Mile, all of that along the lake and where the Trump Tower, Trump Hotel is, all of that. Generally speaking, it's pretty. It doesn't have as much crime as you know. You go a little further west, and a lot of the shootings and things happen, you know, in those areas. It's neighborhood by neighborhood, but around the Loop where he was. Where Jussie Smollett, that's his name, from the Empire series, where he was allegedly attacked along the riverfront there. Generally speaking, because there is surveillance cameras everywhere and it's very well policed because, hello, it's downtown Chicago. Mm-hmm. It's I wouldn't say go run around there at 2 a.m. I really wouldn't because I don't believe in that anywhere, but generally speaking, that's not a high crime district.
Right.
So,
right. Well, you know what they're not even mentioning at all is that the cast of Empire back in 2016 made a video in support of then presidential candidate Hillary Clinton of supporting her candidacy. Yeah. And Jussie himself is not a fan of President Trump. He has written some really incendiary things on Twitter regarding President Trump. In fact, one of his tweets from January 11th of 2018 in response to Donald Trump writing about the southern border and the risk of American lives by not having a border at the southern in the south of the United States. Jussie responded back to the president, "Shut the hell up, you bitch ass N. You nice. Will continue to run this country further into the ground and risk lives every time you breathe. You're not the president, just a dumpster full of hate. FOH, sick to my stomach, that literal SH currently represents America to the world." So he's not a fan of Donald Trump. I'm gleaning from that tweet.
Not only is that repulsive, how uneducated are you to tweet something like that? Give me some supportive evidence here that our president, whom I adore, is a racist. Give us some evidence here that he doesn't belong in the White House more than Obama did, who had absolutely zero experience. I mean,
well, wait, Sue, you're giving them too much credit because you have to remember they're NPCs. So it's Orange Man is bad because the media tells them so. He's bad. He's bad. He's bad. We're scared of him. That's how they're rolling. What I find interesting really about this, too, is that the FBI and the police are reviewing. They've, according to Fox News, they've reviewed hundreds of hours of surveillance cameras, you know, tape from around the area because he A cannot remember exactly where it happened and B they have yet to find anything that shows this attack actually happening in one of the most highly surveilled, you know, cities in the country. So the other side of it is he, after he was attacked and they called him, the first thing was that he said to the police was that he was called racial and
homophobic.
There you
slurs,
go. That's the word I was trying to come up with. Homophobic slurs. And then it came out from TMZ and other sources that they said MAGA country and they were white, but he had told the police that it was the racial and homophobic slurs and that they had ski masks on. And so when they called, the police heard the other reports, they called back and said, "Hey, Jussie, did they also say other things?" And he said, "Oh yeah. They said this is MAGA country and I'm sure they're white." But yet, and they supposedly put a rope around his neck. So Kamala Harris has said that this is a modern day lynching.
What? They put a
rope around his neck. No, no, no. Here's the thing, Sue.
Yeah.
He left the rope around his neck when he met with the police.
If
you have a rope placed around your neck, why do you leave it on there unless you want to show? And he somehow managed to get to the hospital on his own after supposedly being beaten. and attacked with bleach. Wow. Or something, some kind of chemicals. So here's the thing. It was 13 degrees mm-hmm. on Tuesday morning in Chicago. And at 2 a.m., there were supposedly, according, you know, allegedly, two MAGA people who were wandering around the streets of Chicago with bleach in their hands.
Wearing a MAGA hat?
No, they weren't wearing MAGA hats. They weren't wearing the MAGA hats. Okay. It's that they said, this is MAGA country, which is it's not hilarious. Chicago elected freaking Rahm Emanuel as mayor.
Yeah, that's pretty. That's pretty far from Trump and pretty far from MAGA guys.
I've driven my SUV up there and left it in Hyde Park and freaked. You know, I had to ask my friend. I'm like, is it going to be okay? Because I've got all kinds of, you know, MAGA stickers all over and deplorable stickers.
You're very, you know, you wear your heart on your sleeve and your heart on your car. It's all. Well, over
I haven't. I haven't put it on my new car, but on my on my SUV, and but I had to fit all my kids and a girl, you know, one of the kids' girlfriends in the car, and so the only thing that would fit would be, you know, the SUV. So I was concerned, and she said, "Well, as long as you park, not right on the end of like the street, so you're covered, kind of." She's like, "You'll be fine." I'm like, "All right," and it was fine. She said, "Mostly they're passive aggressive." They're not going to do anything to your car. They're going to give you dirty looks, but they're not going to say anything, even if they're not MAGA people. But I was down there, happened to be there the same day as a women's march, really wanted to go and infiltrate, but my friend wouldn't go with me. I was like, we could pretend we're lesbians. She didn't agree and neither did my girls. So we didn't, but you know, even that day, it's just, there's not a lot of MAGA people down there and they're not going to be roaming around the streets of Chicago mm-hmm. at 2 a.m.
Chicago's not known for being a conservative bastion. No.
And really, how many MAGA people do you know go looking? Well, actually I take that back. There are some that go looking for trouble, but at 2 a.m. really?
Yeah, exactly.
No.
And at 13 degrees.
People have jobs, so they're in bed at 2 a.m. unless they're out working. Like maybe they had they're a surgeon and they're out doing emergency surgery or something.
I don't think that they're going to be putting on ski masks and putting a rope around somebody's neck either.
No, definitely not. That is the craziest story that I have ever heard in my life. I don't even know who would believe this. This sounds like what they
did. The people that believe that.
What's the difference between this and Kavanaugh?
Al Sharpton believes it because, according to TMZ, he is calling on President Trump to start speaking out against the MAGA hatred that apparently fueled.
I have two words for you. Tawana Brawley. Tawana Brawley.
That's right.
Because it was discovered that Tawana Brawley had made up that whole story. And it was Al Sharpton that pushed that narrative out into the public was assaulted.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it also Al Sharpton who owes like $4 million in taxes, or is that Jesse Jackson?
It's Al Sharpton.
Yeah, so he just needs to STFU.
They make their money by extorting. They extort money from corporations because corporations will use them as an example that they are inclusive, and they'll fly them wherever they want to go. That's called extortion, guys. So stop with the extortion.
The race baiting too. Right. This is it. They want this country divided, and with all this stuff, I mean, this smells a little bit like the Covington story. I mean, Covington should be happy. This is taking them off of the front burner, and mm-hmm. now this is going on the front burner instead. It's like every week we have a different narrative, a different story, and basically, if you look back at go to Google, go to Twitter, go to any social media platform, and you can follow these people and see some of the really hateful and divisive things that they've said in the past. And then they're out there, you know, kind of like having these things happen to them. And of course, the first thing that they do is blame Donald Trump.
Right.
It's true. And have you noticed how quick the news cycle is nowadays? I mean, something can happen. And 24 hours later, they're on to the next thing because they know they've lied. They know they can't stand on the truth, that if people actually bother to investigate, they can't continue with a lie, so they have to make up another one. And all of these mm-hmm. lies pile on each other, and they make people upset. You know, if you get your news from mainstream media, it's just one thing after the next, and the hatred grows and grows.
Absolutely. I mean, we saw that at the Kavanaugh hearings, and one of the big mouths at the Kavanaugh hearing, Kamala Harris, is running for president. Is that how you say her name? I've heard her name
Kamala.
Said. Kamala.
Camel toe. No, sorry.
I just call her horizontal bop.
Yeah. That's...
I love Steven Crowder called her a skank, but anyhow.
Well, here's the thing with Kamala Harris, though. I mean, supposedly big time women's liber, all that stuff, but still doesn't seem to look aside the, you know, the ability to sleep her way to the top.
See, that's just it. She's going after Kavanaugh for sexual harassment, alleged sexual harassment. And meanwhile, her own past is not exactly that of a Girl Scout. So
no.
I just find the whole thing to be quite hypocritical, as usual.
And the things that she wants to do. I mean, she's out there openly touting single payer healthcare. I'm sorry. I have really fantastic health insurance. Thank God. We are very lucky to have really, really fantastic health insurance.
Good for you, because I don't.
Yeah, I don't want to go to a Medicare, Medicaid style health care insurance system.
There's a reason why Canadians come down to the
United States of America. They do in mass. I did clinical drug trials in Canada. I don't know if I ever told you guys that, but one of my territories was, I was in Vancouver. They have pretty good health care in Vancouver. Montreal, absolutely terrible. In Montreal, I could hear patients screaming on the street in pain. Their doctors only work 4 days a week, because whether or not you work 7 days a week or 4 days a week, you're going to get the exact same check from the government. So why do you think that they would end up working very hard? They didn't change sheets. I would have to bring pens, because when you do a clinical drug trial, you have notebooks, you have 3-ring binders, and all of these forms, these visit forms, are put together into a 3-ring binder, and everything has to be done in black ink, according to the FDA. So they didn't even have a 3-ring binder. I would have to fly out with 3-ring binders and pens, and I would pray that I wouldn't get hit by a car or whatever in Montreal, because there's no MRIs. And I'm sorry, but if you have health insurance, you could have the best health insurance in the world. That does not equal medical care. And you can see that in Montreal. You can see that in Canada, where most people are getting their health care through the ER. That's where they're going, because it's a 5-year wait just to see a gynecologist.
Wow.
It's over 10 years just to get a family medical doctor. I have my new sister-in-law is from China. And they live in Kelowna, British Columbia. And her nephew was asking me, how long does it take me to get a doctor in America? Because he cannot get a doctor in Canada. They can't get them. Natasha Richardson died of a brain injury, a pretty simple brain injury that she got on a ski slope in Montreal. There are MRIs, none in Montreal.
Wow.
And she had to be air flown out to New York. By then, it was too late. So is that what you want, people? Because believe me, there's a limited number of doctors. There's a limited amount of medication. All of those doctors have limited time. You can't just waltz in and expect to get high quality health care when they're using a restricted formulary. It's not going to happen.
Well, the other side of it is as a doctor, if you're looking at medical school and getting out with, you know, $100,000, $200,000 worth of student loans,
right,
and you're going to get a set amount that's not even going to cover your student loan payments, why would you be a doctor? I mean, it's like one of the things that my husband says about line work. If they were to nationalize his industry and say, you will only make this much, which he's already, union, but you know, he can go where he wants to go and find, you know, the places that have higher scales. But if they were going to say, no, now you're only going to make, you know, this much an hour and you have to work, he'd be like, nope, sorry, I'm done. Have fun not having any electricity.
Of course not. People are not willing to work for free, and they're not willing to go into super debt. If it costs a doctor $10,000 a day to keep their office open, which is probably about normal, given all of the supplies that they need, the staff that they need to fill out all of the paperwork required for government health care, there's going to be very little time. There's going to be very little money left to treat patients when they're getting paid less than 50 cents on each dollar.
Right, which is why a lot of the doctors, there's so many doctors that are no longer accepting Medicare patients because they're not making any kind of money with Obamacare. Didn't a lot of doctors, like, that was part of why some of those, some of the insurance companies that were part of Obamacare dropped out of it because they could no longer, they just couldn't do it because it was going to bankrupt them.
Right, it was bankrupting them, so they retired early. Or they moved to a state where they didn't have to, where they could offer concierge care. Concierge care is getting very big here in Minnesota. There are clinics now that are beginning to open up. I believe that it started in Kansas. There's a doctor there who is showing people how to set up four-pay clinics where you pay $50 to $100 a month per individual and you get personalized care. Some of those doctors are making so much money doing that. Did you know that they're able to treat cancer? Their patients, if they get cancer, they say, we will treat you for free. I mean, these doctors, for the most part, they want to do what's right for their patients. They want to care for their patients. They don't want them to, the frustration, you can imagine the frustration of treating an MS patient with a restrictive formulary where you only have so many drugs available to you to treat your patients. Of course, they're not going to want to treat patients anymore because they have to do cookie cutter medicine. If A, then B, if B, then C. So it's all cookie cutter. It's all laid out for them. They can't choose the right medication for that specific patient. It leads to frustration. Patients get frustrated with doctors. They blame their doctors because they don't get the treatment that they deserve. This is a travesty that this is happening in this country when there are, you can only look at Canada and what's going on there. Most of my doctors in my clinical drug trials drove their family, if they were in Canada, they would drive their family to Chicago, into Minneapolis. The clinic that I use in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, is starting to see some patients coming in from Canada.
Wow. Unbelievable. Well, you know, you control the healthcare, you control the people, and that's what they're looking to do.
Right. Well, and the other side of it with Kamala Harris, if you're going to go back to her, has she even put out how we would pay for it? Like, I mean, anything. You've got AOC out there saying that she and our favorite Ilhan Omar saying that they want to do, you know, somewhere between 70% and 90% personal income tax on the highest earners because somehow they believe that the government should own that money and not the people that actually earn it. I mean, and like they think that that's going to pay for everything that they want. But you could
tell me how that's not slavery.
Well, you could steal every dime of the top 1% and it wouldn't come near. It wouldn't come near what we spend every year.
No, you could.
Like, you can't.
You could confiscate all of the income from everyone in this country right now and still not cover the national debt and the unfunded liabilities.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because what's the national debt right now? Is that what, $22 trillion? Is that where we're sitting right now?
I thought it was a little higher than that. I thought it was like $40 trillion or something.
There's the debt and the deficit, and they're two different things, and I always get them confused. We need to check up on our econ and get back to y'all on that. But I know we are pushing that envelope where it won't be long, and the countries that we owe money to are going to go, yeah, we'd like that back now. So yeah,
that's already happening with China in some of the African countries, and China has taken over their ports of entry. Because they've lent them money. Well, so you can imagine, I mean, China could win a war on us just by dropping people on us alone. They wouldn't even have to drop bombs. I mean, think about it.
Jeez.
Well, kind of like what's happening with the South Americans and the Central Americans that are being pushed up here by the cartels and everybody else to on our southern border. But that's a topic for another day.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
We have hit 30 minutes, ladies.
All right.
Wow, that went fast.
It did. We had a lot of
It went really fast.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I hope everybody stays warm. Because we have another 24 hours of this.
Go out and exercise. And go out cross country.
No.
Stop being Susan, you, go to school.
You crazy woman. Crazy woman. No, what we will say is if you enjoyed this podcast, please like us. You can find this podcast all over the place now. The only place I think we aren't on is iTunes. We're on Stitcher and Spotify, I think, and just Google Podcasts, a ton. We're also on Facebook at The Deplorable Housewives of the Midwest. You can find us online.
Website.
Yep, and the website is deplorablehousewives.news. Check us out there. We're also on Twitter at Deplorable Wives. So find us, like us, share this with your friends, and yeah, y'all stay warm up there. Well, in here too.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right. See you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye.